Okay, good morning. Thank you very much for coming, for learning together Hashem's Torah. And we dedicate our learning this morning. Lili Nishmas. Oh, wait, I don't think it's on. Meira Chaya, Nechama Bracha, Lea Shalom, Bas, David Mordechai, Sheyichya, Katie Fischel of blessed memory. Yes, a good health to our dear friend Jason. It should be successful.
Yep.
And Tzvi Yehuda ben Matala. No, Tzvi Aryeh. Aryeh.
Yitzhak ben Simcha Thursday.
Tzvi Aryeh ben Talba. Yitzhak ben Simcha on Thursday has a surgery also.
Yitzhak
ben Matal Taube. Refuah Shalema. Yeah. Okay, so we begin now a new Masechta, Masechet Arachin, the Masechta of Values. In Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah says, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'amarta alehem. Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, Ish ki yafli neder. A man, when he will articulate a vow, be'er kechanif ashos la'Hashem. So, if he uses particular language, he uses the language of erech, of a value. So, he doesn't say, I'm going to give what my damim is worth, what the amount of money that I would fetch. He says, I'm going to give the erech. That's the key word. He used the word erech in describing the vow. So if he says the word erech, which literally means value, so then there are set values. Vayar kecha zachar, the Torah says it'll be that if he said it about a male, who was mi ben esrim shana vad ben shishim shana, from the 20 years of age till 60 years of age, vayar kecha, the value of a male from 20 to 60 is 50 shekel b'shekel hakodesh. If it's a woman, the erech is 30 shekel. If he's, that's from 20 to 60. If the person that his erech he's donating is 5 years old till 20, the erech for a zachar is 20 shekel, for an akeva it's 10 shekel. And if it's a month until 5 years old, the erech for a zachar is 5 shekel, and for an akeva it's 3 shekel. And if from the age of 60 and above, if it's a male, the erech is 15 shekel, and for a female 10 shekel. That's what the Torah says. Okay, so the Torah has this valuation called Arachim. So that's what our Masechta is going to deal with for the first six or seven, for the first six prakim. Only 34 dapim in the Masechta, but the first six prakim, I'm going to deal with this topic of the vows of giving an erech. So the Mishnah begins. Daf, Bezim, and Aleph. Again, thank you very much for learning together Masechet Erechin or Masechet Arachim. Everybody can donate an erech. So it could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be a tumtum. We don't even know if it's a man or a woman. An androgynous, something which has the features of both a man and a woman. If any of these creatures said, I'm giving the erech of Yaakov, so now let's go figure out how old Yaakov is. If Yaakov's 25, he has to give 50 shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, to the Bedek HaBayis, for the repair of the Beis HaMikdash. Not only can everyone make the vow, and when they make the vow, use the word erech, have the obligations of the erech payment, v'ne'erachim. Everybody could be the subject of a vow. So let's say, Yaakov, everybody could be the one who's being used as erech. In other words, Reuven can say that he's making Yaakov, he's going to give Yaakov's Erech to the Beit HaMikdash. And Shimon can say he's going to give Yaakov's Erech to the Beit HaMikdash. And Yehuda can say, everybody can do it. Yaakov can do it. Everybody can do it. Now, this is not only true about Erechin. When we say everybody, there are lots of other areas of Allah that apply to everyone. So says the Mishnah, Hakol Nodrin, everyone can make a neder. What type of a neder? Here we're talking about Nidre Hektesh. We're talking about a neder of a donation to Hektesh. So if a person says, instead of Erech of Yaakov is what I have to give to the Hekdesh, but he says Damim of Yaakov. So Damim doesn't mean the same thing as Erech. Damim is a fluctuating value. It's not set at 50 shekel, anyone over 20 to 60. Anyone from 20 to 60. If he said Damim, then we figure out, were this person to be in the slave market and be sold as a slave, what would he fetch? And that's the amount that he has to give to the Beis HaMikdash. So everybody can make the vow of a neder, v'nidarim, everyone can be the subject of a neder. So this applies to Kohanim can make these vows, and Levim can make these vows, Yisraelim, regular Yisraelim, Nashim, women, v'avadim, and slaves. Hatumtum, someone whose male organs and female organ is covered, we don't know what it is down there. V'androgynous, or an androgynous, someone who has both the male and the female organ. Nodrin, so they can make a vow to give damim to the Beit HaMikdash. V'nidarin, they can also be the subject of a vow, because they have some value worthy to be sold in a slave market. So if somebody says, I'm going to give the value of that tumtum to the Beit HaMikdash, he doesn't use the word erech, he uses the word damim, I'm going to give the damim of that man to the Beit HaMikdash. So we figure out what that man would be worth in the slave market, and that's how much this person needs to give. Umarichin, and a tumtum and an androgynous can make an erech commitment. They can say, I'm going to give the erech of Reuven, I'm going to give the erech of Shimon, then they'd be obligated. Avalon erachin, but if somebody says, I'm going to give the erech of this tumtum, or the erech of this androgynous, nothing took effect. Because as I just read the psukim in the end of Parshas Bechukosai, Sheino Nera, the Torah has a whole list, a whole chart. You know, from the age of 20 to 60, it's 50 shekel. Before the age of 20, it's 15 shekel. There's a whole chart of what, of 30 shekel. Before the age of 5, it's 15 shekel. There's a whole chart of what each value is. And for the charts, it was only HaZachar, Avada, Unikeva, Avadoyas. The Torah spoke about a male and a female. It doesn't talk about anything else. It has to be a certain male and a certain female to have one of these valuations, one of these Erech values.
So the age counts, but the health, for example, somebody's sick.
Very good point. That's right. Health is not going to matter at all. As long as it's a certain age, that's going to be the value. Yes, one of the Tariag Mitzvos in the Rambam is to carry out all these laws of Erechin.
You can do it more than once in a lifetime.
Many times as a person makes the vow. Now, Cheresh Shota Bikatan. That's a, you have someone who is a deaf mute or who is irresponsibly, mentally, or a minor. So Nidarin, they can be the subject of someone else's Neder of Damim Alai. V'ne'erachin, and they can be the subject of someone's Aruch vow. Avolo Nodrin, but they don't have the ability to make their own vow to give Damim because they don't have Das. The lo marichin, they can't make their own vow of arachin either. Nesh ain't behem das, because they don't have das.
Is it the same amount for age-wise between men and women?
No, it's different values.
Different values.
50 and 30. Okay, or 20 and 10, right? Different values. So now the Gemara says, our Mishnah said, Hakol marichin. Everyone can make the Erech promise. And anyone who wants to can make the Erech promise. So this is going to lead us into a discussion of all sorts of places throughout the Mishnayos. We have the phrase Hakol. Okay, we'll get to that soon. So Hakol Marichin, everybody can make an Erech promise. Last week, Amai. So when you said everyone, it's to include something. What's it coming to include? The answer is lasuye, to even include muflas samachlish, someone who is close to being an adult man, but not yet an adult man. So let's take Rashi's approach as it's presented here. He's 12 years old. He doesn't yet have the two hairs, at the two pubic hairs to show the maturation of the body. It will develop, Bezrat Hashem. And he's very intelligent. He understands vows and he knows who he's vowing to. And we keep checking him the whole year and he knows what it means. He knows what a vow to Hashem is all about. He knows what Hekdesh to Hashem is all about. So Mufla Samach Leish, even though he's not yet 13 with two hairs, he's 12, but he has a lot of understanding. He has the ability to make vows. So when the Mishnah says, Hakol Marich, it's even him. Hakol Ma'arichin, again, Lasuye Mai, what's that to include? Lasuye to include Mifla Samach Le'ish, a young man who's about to be an adult, who understands what the meaning of a vow is and the nature of commitments, he can make these vows. Then the Mishnah said, Ne'arachin, and not only do all have the ability to make the vow of Erech, all can be the subject of the vow of Erech, and this is Baruch's point, Lasuyemai, what's that to include? Lasuyemenuvalamukashchin, to include someone who's, let's say, afflicted with leprosy, or someone who is, you know, menuval, he's very lowly, disgusting. No one wants to be around him. He smells terrible. So even though these people have no value in the dummim realm because no one's going to buy them as a slave, nevertheless, since they have a certain age, they have an erich value. And if their erich value was promised, that's the amount that has to be given to Beit HaMikdash based on their age. To say, since the verse says neder be'er kachaksiv, it says a vow with of your erich. So called sheyesh nemedam. So those people who have a value, if it was dmehem alai, right? If they have, if based on the slave market, yesh no barachim. They those who have a value in the slave market also have a value in erech values. Called sheyesh nemedamim. But anyone who's not in the slave market value, because he's disgusting or he has leprosy all over, his boils, ain't no barachim. So then maybe he doesn't have an erech value. That's what the Mishnah to teach me kamash malan. So when the Mishnah says hakol ma'arichin, it's to say even someone younger than an adult, mufla samach le'ish, can make the erech vow. And when it says hakol ne'erachin, everybody can become the subject, everyone can be used in an erech vow, that's to say that even someone who has no damim value, he has no value in the slave market, nevertheless he has an age and he has a gender, since he has a particular gender and a particular age, he has an erech value, and that erech value now has to be given to Beit HaMikdash. Hamash Malan, that's the Chiddush, since it says Nevashos, called who? Any souls are included.
Rabbi, because the slaves, they had values, right?
Yes.
So the people, they want to just respect the slaves, so they equated themselves with the slave, put a price on themselves, you know, like...
Okay.
Is that
not sure that's why. I think the reason is that if somebody says what I'm worth, I'm going to give to Hektesh. So how do you define what he's worth? So you go to the slave market. That's the only way to get a measure.
I don't know
how we would do it in today's market. There's still some countries that have slavery, no? Saudi Arabia, Qatar, Oman, UAE, they still have slavery.
I don't understand. When do you use the evaluation of 50 and 30? And
if you use the word erech. If he said erech, he said, I'm giving the erech of Yaakov. If he said, I'm giving the damim, the monies of Yaakov, then it's the slave market. But if he said erech,
it could be higher or it could be lower.
That's right. What exactly.
But is this erech is set in the Torah. To damages and things like this? Is it connected with them?
In damages, also we use the slave market to figure out how to determine damage. But in terms of, these are vows to the Beit HaMikdash to give a certain amount of money for the upkeep of the temple. So we're saying there are two types of vows when you're trying to deal with people. It could be a vow of may somebody, the monies of somebody, versus erech somebody. And if you use the vow of erech someone, then it's a set list.
So we don't use this for an evaluation when we're assessing damages.
We do. We go to the slave market. Go to the slave market. All right, so then the Mishnah, now the Gemara is going to talk about all these different times when it says Hakol, everybody, what's it including? So we just said Hakol Marichin includes Mufusamach Leish. Hakol Nerachin includes someone who has boils or who smells disgusting. All right, what about the next part of the Mishnah? Hakol Nodrin L'Asuyemai. When the Mishnah says everybody can make a damim vow, what's that to include? So Gemara says that's not really to include anything. It's obvious. Everybody can make a damim vow. Nidarin Itzrichle. The point is the next part. And everybody can be the subject of a damim vow. Nidarin L'Asuyemai. Nidarin is to include what? So Ilasuye Tumtum Adrogan. If it's to include that even a Tumtum Adrogan is that if somebody says I'm going to give the damim of a Tumtum, I'm going to give the damim of an androgynous, that it takes effect, right? If he says, I'm going to give the monies that we could get for this tumtum, the money that we could get for this androgynous, of course, you can get some money. You can sell them in a market. Furthermore, it said explicitly in the Mishnah that works. If to say that a cheir shotev katan can be nidar, they can be the subject of a neder vow. That was also said explicitly in the Mishnah. If it's to say that even if you make a neder vow to give the value of somebody or the monies of somebody who's less than 30 days old, that's also bad. That's also an explicit mission later on. If it's the fact that akol nidarin, all can be the subject of a neder vow, that means it all can be the subject, even a Gentile. Again, that's an explicit Mishnah. So why do we have the phrase Hakol Nodrin, which you said is only because of Hakol Nidarin? We're not sure why we have the phrase Hakol Nidarin. Everybody could be the subject of a damim vow, of a neder vow. For what? To tell you that even if somebody is a boy less than 30 days old, he can be the subject of a damim vow. He can be the subject of a neder vow. It says it, because there is no such thing as an erech for less than 30 days old, but there is a damim, there is a value in the slave market for less than 30 days old. So it says it. And later on, it will explain it, it will explicate it, but that's the point. Okay, so once we got into this hakol, we go through now all of Shas, all sorts of mishnayos that say hakol, and we try to understand why did it say hakol. All can do something to include what? So we begin with a mishnah in Masechet Menachos. Hakol somchin. Everybody leans their hands on their karban. Lasuyimai, what's that to include? Everybody leans their hands on their karban. So the answer is lasuye yoresh. That's to include someone who is an heir. If the father had bought a shlamim, and the father had consecrated this animal as a shlamim, then the father dies. So his son who inherits his father's shlamim, he leans on it when it gets offered. But the Rebbe Yehuda, against Rebbe Yehuda, holds that an heir does not do smicha. All right, a mishnah now in Tzmura. Tzmura was a topic we discussed quite a bit in Masechet Bechoros. And that's what the Torah says, that if a man has a carbon animal, and then he has this silly idea, he decides he's going to replace it with another animal. He's going to take the sanctity off of this animal and put it onto something else. And Hashem says, you know what? You didn't replace it. You got two animals now that are a carbon. You tried to swap it. Now both are carbonos. So Mishnah says, Hakol Memiun. Everybody can do Tzmura. So you might. What was it including when it says everybody can do Tzmura? Lasui Yorish, again, it's to include the same case. A father had made the animal a carbon, then the father dies, now the child inherited the carbon from the father. The child can do the Tzmura, the low tribute, again, against Reb Yehuda. The time we lived in a brisa, Yoresh Someich, an heir who inherits a carbon can do Smicha. Yoresh, the heir who inherits the carbon, if he did Tzmura, the Tzmura took effect, Meimer. However, Reb Yehuda disagrees. Reb Yehuda says, Yoresh Eino Someich, Yoresh Eino Meimer. The person himself who makes the animal holy, he does the smicha on the animal. But if his child inherited this holy animal from him, the child does not have the right to do smicha. The person himself who made the animal holy can create the tmura status on another animal, but the heir, his child who inherits from him, cannot do so. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reason God, Rabbi Yehuda? It's a pasuk. The pasuk talks about karbano, his sacrifice. So his sacrifice implying a low carbon aviv, but not the sacrifice of his father. The sacrifice of his father, he doesn't have the ability to do smicha or tzmura.
We had it also by chul, and it said hakoshuk, and then
good,
the next
time. Good, yes. Very nice, very good. Good. So we're going to get to all of that. Very good. So carbon no, below carbon aviv, his carbon implying, but not the carbon of his father. So therefore, that's in regards to smicha. So that's in regards to smicha. Okay, therefore, v'yalef tchilas hekdesh misof hekdesh. So we derive tmura, which is initiating a new hekdesh, from smicha, from the leaning on a karban, which is the completion of the service of something which is kadosh. So masof hekdesh, just like at the end of when something is kadosh. So then you need to do smicha, and we just said karbano yoresh eino someich karbano. His karban can do smicha, but not his father's karban. The heir, the inheritor, doesn't have the ability to do smicha. After chilas hekdesh, so too when he initiates a kedusha through tmura, yoresh eino meimer karbano. He does tmura, but not his heir who inherits from him. Yes, nobody does smicha. Correct. Doesn't get it. That's right. V'rabbanan. And the Rabbanan will tell you, since it says in regards to Tzmura, Hamer Yamir, there's a dual language, he will surely do Tzmura. So that extra words, Hamer Yamir, is L'Rabbos HaSayoresh, that includes an heir that he also can do Tzmura, even though it's not Karbano, he didn't make it holy. And then once we know that Tchilas Hekdesh, namely Tzmura, to initiate a new holiness, can be done by an heir, Yalfinan Sof Ekdesh, we derive the final step of the Kedusha sanctity, namely the smicha, the leaning, mitchilas hekdesh, from this, from tmura, from initiating a new holiness. Matchilas hekdesh, just like in the initiating of a new holiness, yoresh meimer, we just said from the words hamer yamir, an heir can also do tmura, af sof hekdesh, so to the end of what you're supposed to do with a holy animal, namely smicha, yoresh somech, an heir can do smicha. Okay. V'rabbanan, now the Rabbanan, who disagree with Rabbi Yehuda. And they say, based on Hamer Yamir, that a Yoresh can do Tzmura. And then they say there's a Hekesh, there's a linkage between Tchilas Hekdesh, Tzmura, and Sof Hekdesh, Smicha, the leaning. So, Hai Karbano, my Abdile. So what do they do with this word Karbano that's written in regards to Smicha? It's the Gemara Mibayle, they need it for the following. Karbano, his Karban. The low carbon of it kochavim, but not a carbon of a Gentile. The carbon of a Gentile doesn't get any smicha. Carbono, his carbon, the low carbon chaver, not the carbon of his friend. Carbono, his carbon, the rabbos kol bali chovrin, that all the partners in a carbon, the smicha, they all do smicha one after the other. Let's say five people together pooled their money, and together they bought a sheep, and they said, this sheep is going to be a shlamim for us. So each one does smicha one after the next one. We don't do it all five together. One guy does smicha, the next guy, etc. Because it's his carbon. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda. Now Rabbi Yehuda, who said from Karbano that only he can do smicha, his carbon, but not his yoresh. The rabbis call Bali Chovim the smicha lesle. He doesn't believe that when you have multiple partners, they all do smicha. He thinks that when there are multiple partners, only one does the smicha. And it is his carbon. It is his carbon because he's also a partner in it. Vinami Yisle. Now even if he would believe that when there are partners, they all do smicha, he'll tell you, Ovid Kochavim, the idea that a Gentile can't do smicha, and Chaveiro, that I don't do smicha on my friend's karban, Michad Kra Nafki, that can be derived from one pasuk. It says karbano, so once it says karbano, that means it has to be his karban, not his friend's, nor a Gentile's. And now, the word karbano is repeated three times. So, Aitri Luhu Trei, so now two of these karbanos are extra. Chad is for one is to say karbano, he does smicha on his karban, velo karbanav, but not the karban of his father, not a yoresh. V'idach, and then the third is to say the rabbis kol bali chovim the smicha, that when there are multiple partners, all of them do smicha one after the next.
Rabbi, if he doesn't want to do smicha himself, can he send his son, or is there,
That's this discussion here. No, the mashgiach certainly not. The son also not, unless the son inherits.
So what happens if he dies in the meantime? So what happens
to then there won't be smicha, as Fred pointed out. There won't be smicha. The carbon will be brought without smicha.
It will not be smicha.
No one's going to lean on it.
So the five people become four now.
Oh, if in the case of partners?
Yeah.
Then each of them will do it, yeah.
But if he's dead, he's gone. That's it.
If he's a single owner who's dead, it's gone. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, hi, Hamer Yamir, my Avidle. What does he do with Hamer Yamir? The Chachamim learned from Hamer Yamir that even a Yorish can do Tzmura. Once they say a Yorish can do Tzmura, an heir can do Tzmura, they also say an heir can do the leaning, because the end of Kedusha is compared to the beginning of Kedusha. What about Rabbi Yehuda? What does he do with Hamer Yamir? He thinks that an heir who inherits does not do Tzmura. So my Avidle, what does he do with Hamer Yamir? Why the repetition? He needs it for the following, the Rabbis of Sa'isha, to include even a woman in the law of Tmura, the Tanya's learned in a Braisa, Lefisha Kala Inyin, and Medar Belashon Zachar. All the verses about Tmura talk in the male tense. So, Maso Feinu, the rabbi says, Aisha. So, how do we know ultimately that a woman also, if she has a carbon and she tries to do Tmura, both become holy? Tamaloma, that's based on the extra words of Ve'im Hamer Yamir. Okay, so that's what Rabbi Yehuda does Hamer Yamir for. So, what about the Rabban? And how do they know that a woman is included in Tmura? How did the Rabbanan know that a woman who owns a karban and does tmura, there's the law of tmura? So the Rabbanan will tell you. It's from the word ve'im. Ve'im. The ve'im. And we remove the ve'im lo darish. The extra vav of ve'im, he doesn't darish. Okay, that completes that. All right, it's now going through Shas. As Eli reminded us from Maseches Chulin, right? Hakol Shochtin. So let's do other hakols. Hakol chayavim b'sukkah. The Bryce that says, everyone's obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah, li'isuyei mai, what's being included by saying everyone? Answers la'asuyei, to include a katan, even a child. Even a child has to sit in a sukkah. Now that's not biblical. The mitzvahs of the Torah biblically only apply to those who are adults. But a child needs to sit in the sukkah based on the concept of chinuch, that the rabbis created a law. According to Rashi, it's a law on the father, that the father needs to train his children to fulfill mitzvos. So a father needs to have his child sitting in the sukkah. At what age? Once the child is old enough to be somewhat independent. Sheino tzarech li'imo, he doesn't need his mother. Wakes up at night and he doesn't say mommy. He's okay, he sleeps through the night. 5 or 6, that's what the Rambam says. 5 or 6, he doesn't come in the middle of the night to his mother's bed. So that's a child who is obligated in sukkah. The tzad is mentioned in the Mishnah, in Masechet Sukkah, katan sheino tzarech li'imo. Once a child is old enough to not need his mother and he can sleep through the night himself and he doesn't wake up calling for his mother, chayev besukkah, then he's obligated in sukkah on a rabbinic basis. Okay, next time that we have the word hakol. Another braisa, hakol, chayev and belulav. Everybody's obligated in lulav. So what's that to include? Lisuye mai, what's being included from the word hakol? Everyone. Again, lasuye katan, to include a child. But this age child is a little bit different. It's a child who's old enough, hayodelina nea, who's old enough to shake the lulav. A child who's old enough, who knows how to shake, he's the one obligated in lulav. So I saw, I don't remember if it was Rav Yashiv in his book or others, he said, you know, a child at a really young age can already shake lulav, or let's say eat matzah. A child at a very young age can eat, right? 1 year old, so that doesn't mean a 1 year old is obligated in matzah. They say, no, it's actually in addition to what we just said before. We just said a child who doesn't need his mother. In other words, somewhat independent. So in addition to that, he also knows how to shake lulav. He also knows how to eat matzah. He also knows how to talk, because he has to have some bit of knowledge. The point is chinuch. Chinuch is training. He has to have understanding. But if he's just, you know, 1 year old and he can eat, he's not necessarily obligated in matzah. He doesn't understand what it is. But he has to have some understanding. So it has to be eino tzarech li'imo, he's independent. Plus, yodel ina'anea. So at 5 or 6, that's when the age of chinuch starts. It depends on how, you know, gifted the child is. Hakol chayavim betzitzis. Everybody's obligated in tzitzis. Again, in a braisa. Lasuya mai, what's that to include? Again, lasuya katan. To include a child. At what age? Hayodealis atef. Once he knows how to wrap himself in the tzitzis. He knows how to put the talus over his head. Then you have to get him a talus. The Tanis looked at a braisa, katan yodealis atef. Once a child knows how to wrap himself, then he's chayav betzitzis, he's obligated in tzitzis. Hakol chayavim betfilin. When the braisa says everybody's obligated in tefillin. So what's that age? Lasuye mai, what's that to include again? Lasuye katan, to include a child. One second, okay, good. But so at what age is a child included? Hayodealis mar tefillin, once he's old enough to be careful with the tefillin. Now, careful with the tefillin, to treat them with respect, that he knows that if a place has excrement, he won't walk there with the tefillin. If there's a bathroom, you know, of an outhouse, I'm not sure that these laws of the bathroom apply anymore to our bathrooms, because our bathrooms are clean, you know, whatever gets there, you know, right away gets flushed down, doesn't have a bad smell. But in the bathrooms of old, they had, you know, excrement sitting, you know, in the pits, and it was a very foul smelling, so he can't walk in with the tefillin. So a child who knows not to walk in with the tefillin, he'd be obligated to put on tefillin. The times went in a braisa, katan yodea lishmar tefillin. A child who knows to watch the tefillin, aviv lokeach lo tefillin, his father needs to buy for him tefillin. So here I did see that Rav Yashiv pointed out. He said that he sees a lot of people, they don't do this. They just have the child starting to wear tefillin when he's 13. He said, it's a mistake. It's an explicit law that you're supposed to train your child in wearing tefillin. That's this Gemara. He's obligated before, once he can watch the tefillin. So at what age is that? I don't know. Maybe it's much earlier than what we do, but at least we should do it for 30 days before, 90 days before, so at least to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch, of training a child in the mitzvah of tefillin.
But saying here, it could be 10 years old, 9 years old.
Yes, that's right, that's
so
right.
So then it's kosher lapesach, right?
Yeah, it sounds like that.
I didn't know that.
At the age of 11, 12.
Yeah, right. Nice. That's the way they should. In general, the Ramah says that Ashkenazim minimize how long we wear tefillin because we don't trust ourselves to treat them with any respect. So really, we shouldn't wear them at all, but then we wouldn't do the mitzvah, so we wear them, but we keep it very minimal.
So children, kids aren't like mature to like remember why they weren't going the whole
time.
It's
true too, right? Some children wouldn't be mature. They wouldn't treat it respectfully. That's very true.
Yeah,
Ashkenazim do that, but the Yekis, they put on talis with bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
Okay, so now we go on to another area of halacha where we had the phrase hakol, and that is Maseches Chagiga. The beginning of Maseches Chagiga talks about the mitzvah of Re'iyas Panim, the mitzvah of, you know, showing one's face. That on the Shalosh Regalim, the Torah says, Shalosh Pam Bashana, three times a year, Yeh Kol Zuchurcha as Pnei Adon Hashem. Everyone, all your males should see the face of their master Hashem. And the lawyer of Pnei Rekam, don't show up empty-handed. You have to bring a carbon olas Re'iyah. So the Mishnah says, Hakol Chayavim Re'iyah. Everybody's obligated in this law of Re'iyah. What's that to include? This we had back in Maseches Chagiga. So the Gemara says, to include someone who is a half slave and half free. Let's say you have a non-Jewish slave and he's owned by two Jews in partnership, and one Jew says, I renounce my share, I'm freeing my share. So now this person is stuck. He's a half Jew and half non-Jew. So such a person is also obligated in showing up to the Beit HaMikdash on the three festivals and bringing with him a carbon olat Re'iyah. Now the Baal Shem, I had picked up this book yesterday in the library of all sorts of Hasidic ideas on the Masechtos. So they quote the Baal Shem Tov, who said, the Mishnah says, Hakol Chayavin Re'iyah. So literally we read it as everybody's obligated in this mitzvah of Re'iyas Panim. There's another way to read it. Hakol chayavin, everyone's guilty, right? Chayavin zakai, guilty versus innocent. Biriya, based on what they see. That if I see a certain avera, that means I'm guilty of that avera. Hakol chayavin, everybody's guilty of what? Of the things that they see. Biriya, what I see in others, that's what I'm guilty of. Hakol chayavin, everybody's guilty. Biriya, okay, that's another way to read this line. Again, Hakol chayavin biriya, everybody is obligated in Re'iyah, in the mitzvah of showing up in the Beis HaMikdash. What is that to include? Why say Hakol asuye mishechetzu ever chetzu ben chorin? To include someone who's a half slave, half free. Ula Ravina, now according to Ravina Damar, who says mishechetzu ever chetzu ben chorin is patur min Re'iyah, he's exempt from Re'iyah. Lasuye, what's it to include? Again, this is the beginning of Maseches Chagiga. To include a chige b'yom rishon, someone who on day one was lame and couldn't walk, and we know those who are lame or too sick or too elderly or too finicky can't walk up with their feet are exempt. So if he was chiger b'yom rishon v'nis pashiv, and on day two he healed and now he was okay, b'yom sheni, he's also obligated in re'iyah. So 1 second, honey, chlamadam, and that only works if you assume kulon tashlum and zelazet, that each day of yom tov creates its own obligation of re'iyah. El madam, but according to the opinion that kulon tashlum l'rishonim, that really it's only on the first day of Yom Tov that you have a mitzvah of Re'iyah, and the other days you can make up if you missed the first day, but it's making up the first day. So here on the first day he was exempt, so there's nothing for him to make up. So then l'suye mai. So then what are you including with the words hakol? Okay, then it's to include l'suye suma v'achaz me'enav, to say that someone who's blind with one eye, he also is obligated in Re'iyah. Delo ki hai tana, not like the following tana. The tana was in a brisa, Yochanan ben Da'avoy, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Yochanan the son of Da'avoy, said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Suma ba'achas me'enav, if somebody's blind in one eye, patur min Re'iyah, he doesn't need to do this mitzvah of walking up to the Beis HaMikdash and bringing a carbon olas Re'iyah on the Yom Tov. Shanamar, because it says, Shalosh Pam Bashana, three times a year, Yira'eh kol zechurcha, all of your males shall be seen. Yira'eh, so it says, Yira'eh. Could have written Yera'eh with two yuds. It says Yera'eh with one yud. So Yera'eh with one yud could also be read as Yira'eh, he'll see. So that's to say that there is a Gzera Shava. Yera'eh, Yera'eh, Kederach Sheba Liros, the same way he comes to see Hashem, Kach Balei Ra'oh, so too he's coming to be, so too he wants us to be seen. Right, so Ma Liros, so just like when he comes to see, it's Bishtei Einav, Yera'eh, he's coming with his two eyes because he's perfect. Afleiro, so too, if you're coming to be seen by him, or you who are coming to be, so too, when he says, come to see me, it's only if it's Bishtei Einav, only if you have two eyes with which to see him.
We have eyes, we don't see Hashem. So what's the difference?
We sense Hashem.
We sense
Hashem with the two eyes.
I know, but a blind person could see Hashem the same way we see. You know, so I don't understand why this
is the pasuk. This is the pasuk. Yira Yira. You know, the Baal Shem Tov said over here, a very famous vart. that the person has to have two eyes, one eye to see the greatness of Hashem and one eye to see his own lowliness. But if a person only has one eye, he thinks he's great. He knows Hashem's great, but he's also great. You can't come into the Beis HaMikdash according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zavar. You have to come in with two eyes to see the greatness of Hashem and your own lowliness. There's another beautiful idea here that the Hasidim say. So the same way, you know, Yom Tov is a time of great joy. So the same way when a person is like this, that the same way Hashem is looking forward to seeing me, despite all of my misdeeds and my failures, when I'm coming to see Hashem, I should be thankful for whatever it is I have in life and not say, I want more, I want different. I have to come with satisfaction. If I come saying, I'm satisfied with whatever you did for me, Hashem, then Hashem says, I'm satisfied with whatever you are. You're satisfied with me, I'm satisfied with you. I accept you with all of your misdeeds.
I see discrimination here.
Everybody is saying, yeah.
Does somebody half the slave, half free?
It was a slave who was owned by, because he was owned by two partners and one freed his share.
Oh, I thought it was a marriage.
So like one day he's a slave, one day he's off?
Separated. That's right.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
You could reverse the whole thing and
very true. Shifra Chalufa, exactly. Ibai is saying, generally, I can tell you why do we have the word hakol? La'olam la'asui mishachetz yevrachetz ben chorin. It's to include a half slave, half free man that he's obligated in Re'iyah. Now you ask the question of Ravina, but Ravina holds that he's exempt. Lo kash, it's not a contradiction. Kama Mishnah Rishona. What Ravina only said it according to the original version. But ultimately, the Mishnah Achrona, everybody agrees that a half slave, half free man is obligated. It sounds within a Mishnah. Misha Chetzi Avu Chetzi Ben Chorin, a man who's a slave and he's owned by two partners, and one partner frees his share. So now, as Baruch asks, what does he do? So the answer is like this. Over this Rabbi Yom Echad, he works for his master one day, and that work goes to the master. The next day, Ves Atzma Yom Echad, he works for himself. Divrei Beis Hillel, Divrei Beis Hillel. Amr Beis Shama, Beis Shama, I said, okay, Tikanta Mis Rabbi, that's fine for his master. Ves Atzma Lotzi Kanta, but you haven't fixed his own personal status. Lisa Shifcha Eino Yachol, he can't marry a Shifcha because he's half Jew. Baschorin Eino Yachol, he can't marry a Baschorin because he's a half slave. So one second, Yibata, let him not get married. But the world was created to create children. Shenamas, it says, Loto, bruh, God didn't create it to be an empty wasteland. L'shevis Yitzara, God created it to be settled. So therefore, Mipneitikun Olam, as you learned in Maseches Gittin, in order to fix the world, in order to enable people to live a good life, Kofinitz Rabbo, we force the master of the half of him, Oso Sabin Chorin, he has to make him free. Now he, once he's freed, Kosif Shtar Al Chatzi Damav, he has to write a document for half of his worth. So Chazu Beis Hillel agreed. And they passed on the Kedivri Beis Shammai. The Mishnah Achron is that we don't allow someone to stay as a Chatzi Avad Chatzi Ben Chorin. And therefore, if we don't allow him to stay that way, he's included in Re'iyah because he's going to be freed. And HaKol Chayav in Re'iyah. All right, HaKol Chayav in Tkiyah Shofar. Everybody's obligated in Tkiyah Shofar, the Brisa says. L'asuyamai, what's that to include? L'asuyakotin shigiyah l'chinuch. That's to include a child who's reached the age of education. D'tanya's linton a Brisa. D'tanya's linton a Mishnah, actually, in the end of Masech L'Shoshana. Ein maknes HaKotim l'tkoa b'yom tov. We would allow a child to blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah in order to get training. So that's what this price is saying. Once he's old enough to understand the mitzvah and to do it, we would obligate him in it, and we would allow him to blow shofar even on Yom Tov. Okay, stop here.